College football conversation continues. One of our favorites checking in, Solar Baby. It's Michael Felder at In the Bleachers over on X, a college football analyst. Check out his Substack as well. Michael, I mean, we got it going a little bit, but man, this is the week that everybody's amping up for. It's going to be phenomenal starting Thursday.
Yeah, starts, excuse me. Yeah, starts Thursday. ECU at NC State, like that one's like near and dear to my heart. Both of my parents went to ECU, so I'm looking to see what they're going to do. What's the number on that one? 12? NC State giving 12, right?
1 second. 14 12? Now.
14? God. I wrote it in my notes, and I had 12. That was last night.
Moving well, markets.
Somebody came in on the pack.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. We got App State, Charlotte. That's another one that I'm very interested in. Obviously, like, these are local games for me, but then Auburn, Baylor, Georgia Tech, Colorado. How do you guys feel about that game?
Over. I like the kid. I like the quarterback that came in for Colorado. I'm higher on him than most. Salter?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I really like Haynes King, man. Like, I got to talk to him a couple weeks ago at ACC kickoff, and I think Haynes is going to do a really good job for Georgia Tech. And they've got it's Haynes and Haynes, right? Haynes King, and then you got Haynes, the running back. And so I think that they're going to be a very interesting team in the ACC. Since the number changed so much for ECU, NC State, what's the number on that one? I have four.
4.5, 52.5.
Okay, 52.5. Ooh. Hey. I like the spread more. I think Georgia Tech's gonna cover that number. So what's up, guys? How are we doing?
Well, I wanted to ask, I buried the lead here. I see a little orange in your nails, okay? Is that for Illinois or Clemson or what's the orange for?
Caleb.
The orange
Williams.
These are all great choices. Orange is my daughter's favorite color. And I went to do a live show for Hand in the Dirt, a gardening podcast about football. And I went to do a live show and she wanted to be a part of the show, even though she wasn't going. And so she painted my nails in her favorite color. This is OPI. This is orange from OPI. That's what that's for.
Awesome.
Not the Illini, not Clemson, which, by the way, that game, woo. Who do you like in that game? I'm going to start with Sam. Who do you like in that game?
I like Clemson big picture, but Joe took the points. He took four with LSU.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, so
and I know
why
are going to hate that with LSU and the season opener stuff and Brian Kelly the last few years, how they've had their struggles, yeah. But it's just Nussmeier's is too much, and he's going to keep that a one-score game as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, I like Clemson for the season as well, especially that defense, man.
Yeah, I love the defense. I talked to TJ Parker or – TJ Parker and Peter Woods. I talked to both of them at ACC kickoff as well. Humongous hands, both of them. Like, unbelievable. Here's what you know what's crazy? And I don't think we've thought about, there's two things I don't think we've thought about nearly enough going into the season. Garrett Nuss, three. One, Kate Klubnik against Garrett Nussmeier. We're looking at, I think, quarterback 2A, 2B, right? I think those are and I think Arch is QB1. I don't have a problem saying it. I do believe that. And so to go backwards, to go forwards, with Garrett Nussmeier, what you have is a guy who's the best quarterback coach that Garrett Nussmeier has. Come on. Come on, man.
No, no. Aren't we
his dad?
We're supposed to ask you the question.
His dad.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
He's going to learn more from his dad than he's going to learn from anybody else, at least until he gets to the NFL. So he's got a great – his dad's been a coach in college, coaching the NFL. And so he has that. Then we get to Cade, and I will say this about Cade Klubnik. This is a guy that I've met, I think, twice. Somehow remembered me. Remembered that my neighbor is a Clemson fan. And Cade is, like, down to earth, super. And he was like, you want to shoot a video for your neighbor? And I was like, yeah. That would be – he would love that. So we took a video together of him just saying, have a good seat, have a good school year, George, which I have a, my neighbor is a high school kid. His name George, which we don't see that very often. So I don't know if you guys have kids or not, but like, it's mostly more like Henley, Madison, and like, you know, like Jaden, Braden, Caden, Talen, like that. So, but he remembered that, which was really cool. So I think those two guys are quarterbacks 2A, 2B, any way you want to flip them. I think that's going to be important. And then we get to Arch, and Arch, obviously, huge game. Texas, Ohio State. Texas goes up to Columbus. Arch, for me, and it took me some time to think about it, but Arch has been going to the Manning Passing Academy his entire life. He's been around all different types of quarterbacks. We've seen him be able to run. I know he doesn't have a ton of experience. And my buddy, Bomani Jones, was like, we don't know what we're going to get out of him. And I'm like, no, I think we do know what we're going to get out of him as a good quarterback. So I think Ohio State, where they are in on, what's his name? Cyan? Is that right?
Yeah, the Alabama transfer, yeah.
They're in on him, like, hard. They're pushing social media hard on him. Everybody's, like, very much in on him. I think we're going to see two quarterbacks who have to prove who they are. And if we're being honest with the new playoff format, they might play each other again. They might play each other again for a national championship. Is that crazy to say?
No, it's not. I'm curious. I'm not going to even tell you the spread or the total in that game. What's the final score between Ohio State and Texas? And I can't wait to react to what you say.
I think Texas wins. I think Texas wins probably 37-35.
Jesus. Okay, what? That's the first awesome. That's the first person that said that, because that's sort of I set you up without you knowing it, because everybody is saying under, and the total has been bet from 50.5 to like 47.5. And you're really talking about a game in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? I mean, this is... I'm intrigued by this, like, because you're the first person to say this, and I think you might be onto something.
Like, have you seen the wide receivers in this game?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing you... And look, I'm a defensive back. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, you can't... You can play perfect. But every time, like, you can play all, like, here's the thing. If you go, let's say they play 50 plays, right? 50 plays. So everybody, each team gets 50 plays. I'm trying to do the math. Again, I got the calculator right here. If you, like, if 50 plays, you do 50 plays, right? 50 is half of 100. I know that. I'm not that dumb.
Are you sure? Hold on. Let's check that math.
But if let's just say four of those plays, you make a mistake as a defensive back. Those are touchdowns for both teams. Four of those plays, you make a mistake. And I'm not just talking about deep balls. I'm talking about if your defensive line messes up. And remember, Ohio State lost huge pieces of that defensive line, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Texas lost massive bodies along their offensive line and along their defensive line in the last 2 years. So if you make it like it, but it all comes down to defensive backs, wide receivers, because if you make a mistake at D defensive line, linebackers can clean it up. If you make a mistake at linebacker, safeties clean it up. If you make a mistake at corner or safety, buddy, we call that a touchdown. And I think that the wide receivers are crafty enough to make this happen. So, yeah, I would take the over. I would. And I don't think this is a low-scoring game. I think this is a game where between Sark and Day, their strong suit is, say it with me now,
offense.
Yes, there we go. Now we're all on the same page. So I think that that's – I think this is an over game. I think that Texas does win. But I think Ohio State puts it – they're going to be in a football game. This is going to be a game. And the fact that it's at, what, noon? It's a noon game. That's going to be wild. I've also had to – oh, look, can I – hang on. I love doing this to you guys. Let me ask you this. I'm going to flip it around again. I got a friend. We played football together at UNC. He played for the Green Bay Packers for a little while. That's a little just – he's going to the TCU-UNC game. Now, his wife, yes, who he has three kids with, they have three kids. They are married. They love each other dearly. His wife went to TCU. He has to go and do all the UNC stuff. You know what I mean? Like the all the like, we're going to go to the Carolina family tailgate and we're going to do the Letterman's Lounge and all this. His wife's like, well, I want to wear like this. Like, and it's, I'm going to say this, not like aggressive, like go Frogs or any of that. It's a muted, like lavender, slight purple dress. And he's like, she can't do this. It's disrespectful. What do you guys think about that?
Because you're kind of going behind the scenes, like you've got all this access because of the connection with the Tar Heels. I would be telling my wife, like, no, we can't.
No.
Let's Sam, you gotta bring a shirt and we'll do it later. Just switch afterwards.
Tell Vonnie Holiday to tell his wife to come correct. Okay.
I think that the play here is she wears the dress and just is, and you go, hey man, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do?
You know, North Carolina people, how do they respond to that? Is it going to be like you're ignored or is it going to be a good conversation starter?
I think it's a good conversation starter. I also think it's TCU. It's not NC State.
Right.
She's not showing up in red. Like in red, she's not, it's not ECU. She's not showing up in purple and gold. Like this is, it's TCU. It's a chance for her to see her, the school she went to. And so we have some fun. We do some light ribbing. And then after that, we're good to go. So let's go do this. She's not going to walk in, be in doing the whole Frogs thing. So we're good to go. But that game also is interesting. I think that UNC's got their hands full because of what's the number on that game?
TCU minus 3.5.
Yeah.
North Carolina was a favorite at one time.
Nobody's vetting the heels. Nobody.
I was going to say that feels insane that UNC would be the favorite. I would take I'd take TCU plus. TCU in the, or give the 3.5. I would, because watching Josh Hoover, what he's able to do, the way that he's able to basically, like, it's very surgeon like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like he uses a scalpel to get to the middle of the field. And we talk a lot about, and this is going to go outside to get inside, but we talk about Tennessee speed and space, right? Where they spread you out and throw the ball all the way down the field so your corners are isolated. What TCU does is spread you out, but then get back inside and make your safeties have to make a decision about being scared of somebody going over the top, or do I protect the post? Do I protect the seam? And that's what they're really good at. So I'm looking forward to that. Bama, Florida State, do they have a pulse?
Bama big.
Yeah, same. We're on the same page. Yep. Like, I just don't – like, I don't know if Florida State has a pulse going into this, and that's the part that's going to be really interesting.
Michael Felder at In the Bleachers, one of our favorite college football analysts, joining us. Michael, can't wait for this weekend. Can't wait to talk to you throughout the season. This is BetSweats, Joe O, Sammy P, BetMGM Network. Love our visits with Michael Felder. At the end, I don't know if anything was ever accomplished. That's usually how it ends up going with Michael. But fun stuff. We continued the North Carolina conversation during the break. I think it's interesting because he's got that insider perspective. And like throughout the summer, it's like it depends on the week when you ask about North Carolina, about how those connected to the team are feeling, man. And I, as we get closer and I see that we're down to 7.5 on the win total, I keep staring at that schedule, man. And I'm like, I understand it's going to take a while and the transfers and how invested is Belichick and all that. I don't see him losing enough to hit the under, but it seems like I'm on the outside of what most people are thinking right now.
Well, you and I are never people that like to be a part of the crowd, and the crowd is definitely on the Carolina under. We've seen the ticket counts all summer. John Ewing, BetMGM, has said that North Carolina under is one of the most popular tickets across the country. So you are in the minority if you think that Carolina is going over. But something to remember, this team, coached by Belichick, probably improves more than most teams in that conference week to week and month to month. Now, okay, you want to counter and say Clemson. Fine, I'll give you Clemson. But give me another coaching staff that is going to improve its team week to week and month to month.
Mm-hmm.
I would fight you on anybody else. You want to give me Miami? Nope. Miami, here's what Miami does. Miami brings the players in and then relies on the players to perform. That's the model there. I think we all know that. Clemson does both. Clemson brings in players, and Clemson gets better. That's why we've seen Clemson make runs to the college football playoff, runs to national championship games, things like that. At North Carolina, though, the problem is the players aren't there. So you have to develop players from two stars to three stars and three stars to four stars. And the belief there is that Bill can do it. But I think we have to be very careful watching Carolina week one and week two, week three, whatever. And we have to pay attention to how they look week one, two, three, and what they progress into in week six, seven, eight. I think the product will look a ton better a month, 6 weeks from now.
Yeah. And how about the in-game adjustments too, which is what Belichick is known for? Like him against the Charlotte coaching staff in week two, Richmond in week three, even, you know, once you get to Cal and I did take a closer look at Syracuse, and yeah, they may have had a good year last year. This year is quite different. Stanford, Wake, Duke, these are teams they're facing late in the season. I think you're right. There are a lot of wins on that schedule. So that number of 7.5, it's pretty interesting. As many people are fading that team. I mean, it's such a great slate. We didn't even get to Notre Dame, Miami coming up on that Sunday night game. So that's going to be fun as well. All right, NFL week one. We wanted to take a look at a number of these games. And this is pretty strong, but it's the NFL. You can make good cases for anything, and the number always comes into play. Like, I'm looking at a lot of games that are 6, that are 7, people that want no part of those dogs, and where I find myself making a case. Where do you want to start with week number one here in the NFL?
I'll save Minnesota because we got plenty of time for this. Minnesota, Chicago.
I keep staring at it. I'm like, I remember a time this offseason when we were like, whoa, big surprise. It flipped. All that Bears love. Bears are the favorite. And now it's getting out to like 2. Minnesota road favorite.
Well, here's what's happened. Minnesota got to 2, 2.5, but then the Bears preseason happened. So then that has created more of a buy point on the Chicago side. So we did see this initial number many, many months ago. I'm going to pull up the line history here. The Superbook opened this on May 14th at Chicago -1.5. And then Chicago got to -2, 2.5. But then we started to hear that the Bears can't break the huddle and Caleb Williams isn't ready for the offense. So it started to swing toward Minnesota. So Minnesota gets to -2-ish. I think one offshore got to -2.5. And then you had the suspension to Jordan Addison. And now Justin Jefferson is banged up and TJ Hockenson is banged up and people aren't believing in JJ McCarthy. So it's almost like Vegas doesn't know which team should be favored. So they're just going to let the money decide it. Market price right now, BetMGM and basically everybody else has the Minnesota Vikings at -1.5. There's a couple twos in the market. Pinnacle's Minnesota -2. But a small road favorite for Minnesota. And I remember in the summer I was saying, give me three with Minnesota. Because I thought we were going to blow through 2, 2.5 and get out to Chicago -3. Did not happen. Mm-hmm. So I am naked on the game. I have not made a single bet on the game, but I assure you I will have money on that game. I just have to figure out what it is and when it is.
Couple short favorites that I want to throw your way. And these are divisional matchups. It's tough. Like you just mentioned Minnesota, Chicago, divisional matchup. There's a handful of them. And as I started going over, I'm like, I like all these dogs. Okay. That's normal for me. And then I found a couple of short favorites, but they're divisional short favorites. So that's always dicey. San Francisco is under a field goal. I'm getting the sense that that thing's going to hit three. We're 2.5 everywhere at Seattle, a team that I'm not buying, and I don't like the quarterback change. I expect that to be a downgrade this season. I like the Niners, and I know a lot of people are hot on them. They're the favorite for the division. They're going to be that popular worst to first team, all that stuff. I don't have any season-long bets on San Francisco like you do, but Sam, I don't think we're going to – you want to be inside of three? You probably have to bet it sooner rather than later if you plan on being on the Niners in week one.
Agree with you there. We're already on the way. You know, 2.5 at a lot of sharp shops, 2.5 -15 at one place. So you're seeing that build. And I have a feeling, because you have to remember, people don't bet NFL week one for the most part until Saturday or Sunday week of the game. So we haven't even seen the public join in yet. And the open was 1, 1.5. Now we're 2.5. There's a really good chance this gets to San Francisco -3. Now, will it last? I don't know, because you will have some appetite for sharp guys to take Seattle +3. But again, they're not taking a team. They're taking a number. A lot of groups that I know, they don't even look at the teams. They look at the numbers. And they're going to take a home dog inside the division at +3. But anything sub-3, like there's a 1.5 at Circa, there's a 2 at South Point. Everybody else is mostly 2.5. I would lay those cheap numbers if you could, because this was a game a week ago. We were talking 1.5, and now it's 2, 2.5. I don't feel good backing Sam Darnold. It won't happen for me. I even thought about floating San Francisco in Survivor because San Francisco stock is a little bit low right now. It is. I mean, they're 10-1 to win the conference. They were 5-1 to win the conference last summer. But because of all the injuries and McCaffrey goes down and they make some changes on defense, people aren't sure yet about San Francisco. But if I'm right about San Francisco and they're one of the better teams in the conference, we'll look back and go, wow, that -1.5, -2 was a joke. Week number one could very easily be the case.
Today's countdown to kickoff team, the Detroit Lions. They're a dog. Packers -1, tough NFC North matchup. Feels like, why are they wasting this in week number one? Unnecessary. But this is going to be fascinating with the new coordinators. First game, a very difficult matchup. man, now you got to go on the road to Lambeau. We talked about how difficult their road schedule is this year. I'll probably be on the Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to be on Detroit?
I like Detroit. If I could get through seven, I like Detroit in a teaser.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well, that makes
sense. I don't know about.
Yeah.
I mean, you get that. Look, Detroit is still a very good football team. I could very easily see the Packers winning by 3, 4, or 7, though. But if I'm teasing through 3 and 7 and I'm at 7.5, I'm going to be a winner there. I would love for this to get to 2, 2.5, and then I could tease to 8, 8.5. But I don't know that we're going to get there because there will be an appetite to bet Detroit as a dog. But I'm curious where this closes. Green Bay opened pick, and now we're 1.5 pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, I'm looking at teaser options. Texans are probably a pretty solid one. They're on the road. You can get that to 8.5 at the Rams. I kind of like that one. The other ones are a bit more challenging. Would you take the Bears? Plus,
no.
Let's call it 8. I know you're Minnesota, but I'm saying it a teaser plus 8 at home.
I'm not trying to middle Monday Night Football week one. No.
I think it would be pretty funny if you did.
So hear me out on this one. Hear me out on this one. Hold on. I know that people say that you shouldn't tease from this number to that number, and fine. But how does Las Vegas plus 9 lose? New England's a 3-point favorite, and I take Vegas from 3 to 9. I know we're supposed to do 1.5 and 2.5 up.
Oh, whatever.
Blow me. Blow me. I'm taking the 3 up to 9. I'm taking plus 9 in a teaser.
Those are also old school rules, and we've learned how important the 8 has become, right? Like that's 6, 7, 8, and you're blowing through those numbers. I don't mind that at all. I'm
but
just wondering how many
guy. You can't take 3 to 9.
Can't
take 3.
Sure
you can. Watch me.
Yeah, and I'm moving it off the keyest of all numbers, the 3. And I'm going up. Like, okay, I don't get double digits, but it's okay. I'm fine with that. I'm just wondering how many ways you're going to have the Raiders. By the time we get there to that Sunday, how many ways are you going to be back in Vegas?
A lot. I think they're going to win. So, yeah. And remember, in the summer, the first line we saw on this game, Superbook hung. No, I'm sorry. It was an offshore shop that hung. Vegas minus 3. So this has moved quite a bit. Now, maybe the Vegas minus 3 was never the right number, and it quickly corrected itself. But I think this game should be a pick 'em. So you're going to make the Pats 3, and I'm going to get 6 more extra points. Yeah, I'm in.
I'm going to throw 3 dogs your way. Tell me if you like any of them. Jets plus 3, hosting the Steelers. Giants getting 6 at the Commanders. Falcons getting 2.5 at home against the Bucks, who they swept last year.
Of the 3, I'd go Atlanta before the other 2. Could be convinced to take the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jackson Dart.
I mean, that
baby.
Defense. And that defense, that pass rush that the Giants are going to have, I have a lot of, I understand people thinking Daniels isn't going to fall off. Like, I could get behind that, but what I can't get behind is this Commanders defense stopping anybody. And people are going to say, oh, well, look at the quarterback room and Jameis and all that. Okay, fine. I understand, but big picture wise, this Commanders defense did not get better in my mind. It just got older.
I agree with you. We talked about this yesterday. We pay so much attention to the offense and the quarterback that we sort of give the defense a pass. The defense also played a lot of really bad quarterbacks last year. So we'll see. Dable's had the entire summer to get Jackson Dart ready for this game. And I think you have the ability to use Jackson Dart. They're going to use a lot of trickeration, a lot of RPO. They're going to fake the pitch and throw the pass. I'm intrigued by the Giants. I said this yesterday. I think they can win six games. Not exactly a hot take because the win total's right around there. But I think the Giants are going to win one game this year against either Philly or Washington. I'm very, very clear about that.
Are you surprised like me that at the moment you could find some juice 6.5s on Philadelphia for the season opener against Dallas?
No, not really. I think we'll be okay. 7 by Thursday, next Thursday.
Right.
I think we'll be there.
Uh-huh.
But you're going to see a lot of those 6.5s go away. I mean, the market is mostly 7 everywhere. So those books that are laying 6.5, 120, they need a little bit more Philly money, if you know what I mean. But don't worry. That'll come next week.
Yep. I totally agree there. They're going to end up getting that Philly money. That's for sure. Joe O, Sammy P, top of the hour, our buddy Will Brinson will be dropping by, getting his NFL thoughts. A lot more to get to, including some more college football that we wanted to circle back to. That's next. Joe O, Sammy P, you've got Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. All right, we got our buddy Will Brinson coming by at the top of the hour. Joe O, Sammy P. We'll talk to Jim Costa from The Ticket in Detroit also the next hour as our countdown to kickoff team has been the Detroit Lions today. Man, going through these slates, whether it's this weekend or next weekend, really get you pumped. we did make it, man. Really excited about it. College football. We started talking about the Portnoy situation with Ohio State, which I'm very curious how that ends up going. So we kind of didn't have enough time to go over our make and miss the playoff markets that we were interested in. I mentioned to you, speaking of Portnoy, that I'm in on Michigan this year. Underwood officially announced the quarterback. We all knew that was going to be the case. Boy, they're missing a lot of the top teams in the Big Ten, whether it be Penn State, Oregon, Illinois, Indiana. They're missing all those teams this year. But I am expecting a big bounce back from Michigan this season. You can get that at 2-1. Were there any make-miss teams that popped to you, Sam?
I like USC. Now, that's been bet a little bit. USC brings back, you know, a ton on offense. And I've got, you know, USC, like, over 8, over 8.5. I think that's a pretty good look. Their schedule's tough. But when you look at the games they're going to be dogs in, they're not big dogs. So they're in a coin flip at Illinois. It'll be a coin flip when they're home against Michigan. At Nebraska is a coin flip. And then they're going to be a substantial dog at Oregon. Brad Powers has them plus 11.3. I'm a little bit cheaper because I'm higher on USC. I think that game's closer to maybe 10. But they're not big dogs. I guess Notre Dame game too. So at Notre Dame, they'll be a double-digit dog for sure. But you could be 10-2. You could be 9-3 with a win over Oregon or a win over, you know, Notre Dame. You could win that game. I think you have to win one of those marquee games, of course. But this was a team that was 5-1 to make the playoff. And that number's basically gone. It's been knocked in a little bit. Current price I see right now, 450, give or take. So there's been a little bit of an appetite to bet the Trojans. Look, I think they're sleeping on Lincoln Riley, and they feel like they have the quarterback. Mm-hmm. The talent is always there at USC. They've spent a little extra money in the portal. MGM's price to make the playoff is – oh, can't find it, of course. Got 18-1 to win the Big Ten, but to make the playoff, there we go, 4-1. All right, so that 5-1 is definitely long gone. That was a team that I had thought about a couple of weeks ago. I talked about it on a different show. I like USC. I'm much higher on them than Illinois, and I think a lot of people would put those teams on the same line, USC and Illinois. And
yeah,
I'm not there.
I like that one. I started looking at some of the numbers of the teams that we threw out the possibilities of, okay, what if things can go wrong here, even though they had a great season a year ago in the regular season? What if they fall out? The value just isn't there on the miss. Do you agree with that? Because I'm just looking at the numbers. Like, you made a case. Okay, Ohio State is not a for sure thing, and here's why. So if you bet to miss, you can get plus 240. Or I threw out there about Oregon. Okay, what if they slip in the conference? These teams are moving up. Like you mentioned, hey, what if USC is really good? I talked about Michigan. And somebody's got to slide back. Okay, Oregon. Oregon to miss is plus 130. Like, there's not a lot of value in the miss markets. That's why I think another reason that people end up taking some longer shots on the make the playoff market. You're high on Clemson big picture, but we all know the second best team in that conference are playing Notre Dame on Sunday night. Miami in that plus 170 range to make. Do you find that appealing?
I already bet 2-1. So I'm okay. Already invested there. I'm looking at the range right now. Miami to make the playoff at MGM is still 2-1. So I would wink, wink. I would bet that. The problem with trying to find these big dogs to miss is that you don't really have any $4 or $5 favorites. And that sort of protection built in by the books. You know, I think a couple of years ago when some of those Georgia teams were coming off national titles, you would have seen Georgia minus 500. And then you would have had the no or the miss at plus 375 or plus 385. But you don't have that this year. So the most expensive team at BetMGM to make the playoffs is Ohio State, ironically enough. They've got them minus 325. Then they've got Penn State at minus 300. So you're never going to get that $3 dog in any of these markets on any of these teams. Texas, they have – let's see. Texas to make the playoff is – oh, Jesus. Sometimes these sites are just – they have a mind of their own.
I know.
Can't even know. Texas to make the playoff. Like, this is absurd. But, I mean, Texas can't be much far off. Why can I not find Texas at this website? Like, it's infuriating sometimes, these websites. But my point is simple. Like, your highest teams – are Ohio State, Penn State, Texas. And they're all minus 350 or less, give or take. So you're never going to get that huge, juicy payout. Now, what you can do at some of these books, you can do parlay to miss. You could take this team no with that team no, and then, you know, you could run it up. But even that's becoming tougher and tougher. Like, a lot of the books won't even let you do that. But if you take a team at plus 170 to make and 2-1 to miss and wheel the plus 170 with the 2-1, that's how you get a nice price. And then maybe you boost it. Maybe you add a little 20% boost on it to ramp it up a little bit more. But you're not going to get a scenario many times where you're betting a little to win a lot in this playoff market.
Okay, I've got one more long shot that I want to throw your way. We're going to the Big 12. The wide open conference. Nobody truly knows what's going to happen there. And I'm getting a plus 450 on a team that I'd say most people view as, even though it's open, they're in the top two, top three. Texas Tech to make the playoff, plus 450. Schedule doesn't seem too difficult as far as preseason rankings, teams that are in the top 25. You've got to go to Arizona State, got to go to Kansas State near the middle of the season. But what do you think about Texas Tech plus 450?
I think you should rip it if you like it. I understand it.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of money in that program too. I mean, they've spent more money than pretty much everybody in NIL. That's certainly something you didn't think was going to happen.
They're spending money every sport. They made a run in women's softball too. Like, they put a ton of money into that. Like, I saw a bunch of stories on that one as well. As far as the top transfers in the conference, I saw an ESPN story. They're like, yeah, the Texas Tech, they got the top three transfers in the conference too. Like, they were up there, I think first or second, according to most rankings on the portal. So it killed it. It's a matter of doing it on the field. Now that you pay the players, what are they going to do on the field for you? But you would think in a wide open conference that that's going to happen. And that might be a team where if they have a hot start, and they should with the soft schedule that they have, like, people might jump on them quickly.
The other team, let's stick in this part of the country. I know it's a different conference now. As weird as that is to say that Texas Tech and Oklahoma are not in the same conference, but they're not. Oklahoma has a big game, man. Huge game, week number two against Michigan. And that's a home game for them. It's in Norman. Very, very winnable game, of course. Game's going to be like a pick 'em. Maybe it's Michigan minus one or whatever. But Oklahoma, with a 2-0 start, is going to move rapidly. You know, that price, if they can beat Michigan, which I actually find myself probably on Michigan in that game, or on Oklahoma, rather, you're talking about an easy, easy price that you could get ahead of here. So Oklahoma to make the playoffs, BetMGM has plus 350, and then some competitive books are closer to 4-1. That's a team I kind of price similarly to USC. Now, the market's a little bit higher on Oklahoma than USC, but if Mateer is as good as everybody says he is, I know he's a very, very sexy pick for Heisman. I'm not there. But if Oklahoma beats Michigan, you can kiss that 4-1 playoff bet long gone. So that's sort of the advice. Try and find a team in that 4-5-1 range that might have an easy slate early or a relatively controllable slate where you can do some damage. And pick that number off before the season starts. Because if Oklahoma beats Michigan, you're going to see 225, 250. And then everybody will come rushing into bed. So you want to be ahead of the curve, not after the curve.
I mean, Mateer already won the Heisman, didn't he? That's what everybody told me all offseason.
That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. That's going to be an interesting one. Yeah, because I think people don't know what to expect. Oklahoma's schedule is brutal this year. I do remember seeing that. So it's gonna. He may have a pretty good year, but look, I know it didn't happen last season, but I believe that to be the ultimate outlier. I think if you're really gonna be a quarterback in that Heisman conversation, you've got to be one of the 12 teams, especially the way they set it up now, where it's truly gonna be according to their rankings, the four best teams. They're getting the byes in the playoff. Like, I'm not saying you have to have a bye, but you've got to be in that playoff conversation. But yeah, they around that Michigan game, they have a couple of soft ones, and hell's coming to breakfast mid-October. Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Bama, Missouri, then LSU. Like, that's going to be brutal. I don't mind going under the win total, even though a lot of people are hot on this team just because of the quarterback.
They should start 5-0 though. And then you start 5-0, then maybe you get some injuries to other teams. You start 5-0, it's gonna be tough to stop that train.
Yep. Yeah, especially Oklahoma. It's been a while since they've been that strong. Joe O. Sammy P. We'll get to some NFL. Oh, feels good to do this. Bouncing back and forth, NFL, college football. Will Brinson next on the BetMGM Network.